Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Lawsuits and Employee Benefits Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 17, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in U.S. Airways Incorporated v. McCutcheon. The case considered whether, under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, an injured employee who has medical expenses paid through his employer's benefit plan, and who then sues and recovers damages from the third party who was responsible for the injury, is required to reimburse the benefit plan in full, even when some of the damages went to cover attorney's fees. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the court held by a vote of 5-4 that in an ERISA Section 502A3, action based on equitable lien by agreement, like that in the present case, the ERISA plan's terms govern. Neither the general unjust enrichment principles nor specific doctrines reflecting those principles can override the applicable contract. Because the plan here is silent with respect to allocating costs of recovery, however, the common fund doctrine still applies. As a result, the lower court opinion must be vacated and the case remanded for further proceedings. Justice Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor joined the majority opinion. Justice Scalia filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito and Thomas. To discuss the case, we have Jason Mendrow, who is a partner in the Washington, D.C. office of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Mendrow.
Today I'm going to be discussing the Supreme Court's decision in U.S. Airways versus McCutcheon. McCutcheon is the Supreme Court's latest decision concerning the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, which we all know as ERISA. All nine justices agreed in McCutcheon that equitable defenses cannot override the plain terms of an ERISA plan in cases in which the plan seeks reimbursement from one of its participants under Section 502A3 of ERISA. A bare majority of the justices also concluded that the particular plan at issue in the McCutcheon case does not address who would be responsible for attorney's fees when a plan participant retains counsel to recover funds for the benefit of the plan. And since that was unclear, the majority held that the fees should be allocated according to the Common Fund Doctrine, an equitable rule that requires payment of fees out of the funds recovered. Although that rule could be altered by agreement, the particular plan at issue lacked express terms to alter it. Now, four dissenting justices disagreed with the second part of the majority's reasoning. The dissenters didn't think that the court should engage in interpreting the plan because the defendant had already conceded that the plan required him to pay the attorney's fees himself. The dissenters would have held the defendant to that concession. Now, as some of you may recall, I recorded another one of these podcasts about the McCutcheon case on November 30th, just 3 days after the case was argued before the Supreme Court. I'll go back over the facts of the case today, but if you want some additional background, you can find it in that earlier podcast. Now, with that said, I'll walk back through the facts. The defendant, James McCutcheon, was an employee of U.S. Airways, and he was a participant in the company's self-financed health benefits plan, which is covered by ERISA. In 2007, Mr. McCutcheon was tragically injured in a car accident. The accident killed one person and severely injured two others. McCutcheon survived, but he required emergency surgery. The medical care that saved his life cost $66,866. U.S. Airways health benefit plan paid those expenses for him. But the plan documents contain terms requiring McCutcheon to reimburse the plan in the event that he should recover against third parties in a lawsuit. McCutcheon retained lawyers to represent him in suing the driver who injured him, and also in seeking recovery from his own insurance company. McCutcheon secured a total of $110,000 in third-party recovery. But that amount wasn't for him to keep entirely. He had promised his attorneys a contingency fee of 40% of his recovery. And after paying $44,000 to his attorney, McCutcheon's net recovery was just $66,000. Now, as you'll recall, the U.S. Airways plan paid medical expenses slightly above that amount, $66,866 to be exact. So McCutcheon's net recovery after paying his lawyer was $866 less than the expenses that U.S. Airways had paid for him. Nevertheless, U.S. Airways asked McCutcheon to repay all of the medical expenses that it had covered, and it relied on the terms of the plan requiring reimbursement of, quote, amounts paid for claims out of any monies recovered from a third party, When McCutcheon didn't pay, U.S. Airways sued him, acting as the fiduciary and administrator of the plan. U.S. Airways sued under Section 502A3 of ERISA, which allows plan fiduciaries to bring civil action to obtain, quote, appropriate equitable relief to enforce the terms of a plan, end quote. The trial court ruled in favor of U.S. Airways, reasoning that the plain terms of the plan required Mr. McCutcheon to reimburse the plan in full. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals reversed. It reasoned that Section 502A3 imposes equitable limits on the plan's recovery, regardless of the plain terms of the plan documents, and it concluded that it would be unequitable or inequitable for Mr. McCutcheon to be worse off after he successfully sued third parties. U.S. Airways petitioned the Supreme Court for review, posing the question whether Section 502A3 authorizes courts to use equitable principles to rewrite contractual language and refuse to order participants to reimburse their plan for the benefits paid, even when the plan's terms give it an absolute right to full reimbursement. The Supreme Court granted review on that question. The court decided the case on April 16th in a closely divided 5-4 decision. The majority opinion was authored by Justice Kagan and joined by Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor. A dissenting opinion was authored by Justice Scalia and joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas and Alito. The case presented a dilemma for the court. On the one hand, ERISA allows U.S. Airways to recover no more than appropriate equitable relief. And it hardly seems equitable that somebody who incurs a terrible injury and brings a lawsuit largely that benefits the plan should end up in a worse financial position after winning his suit. As I observed in my first podcast about this case, anyone who watched the oral argument would come away with the impression that the majority of the justices were very concerned about a ruling that would make the plan participants worse off for pursuing claims against third parties. Setting Mr. McCutcheon's personal circumstances to one side, that outcome would hardly create the right incentives for injured persons to seek redress from the parties who inflicted the injuries on them. On the other hand, holding that the plain terms of an ERISA plan could be overwritten by equity would cast a pall of uncertainty over all plans. Despite their best efforts, plan sponsors would never know how their plans would be applied. They would never know if the plain language would be enforced or supplanted by equitable principles, and they would never know how to forecast costs and potential recoveries. All of this uncertainty would ultimately get in the way of plans providing benefits to participants efficiently. The record in this case suggested that this is a pretty significant issue as a practical matter. One amicus suggested that recoveries for the plan for reimbursement claims, just like the one against McCutcheon, could amount to more than $1 billion a year. As I previewed earlier, the majority of the justices resolved this dilemma with two holdings. First, Mr. McCutcheon could not rely on equitable doctrines to circumvent the plain terms of an ERISA plan that would have required him to reimburse the plan in full for medical expenses it paid for him after he prevailed in a lawsuit concerning the injuries that led to those medical expenses. That was so, the court said, even though the plan was suing McCutcheon for reimbursements that totaled $866 more than the amount that he recovered from his lawsuit after accounting for the fees that he paid to his attorney. Second, because the terms of Mr. McCutcheon's ERISA plan did not specifically address the question of who would pay his attorneys, it was appropriate to apply the Common Fund Doctrine. Of course, the Common Fund Doctrine is an equitable rule that recognizes that when a person recovers funds for the benefit of others, he's entitled to reasonable attorney's fees from those funds. The majority reasoned that the plan's silence on the issue of attorney's fees was a contractual gap, and it held that that gap should be filled by the Common Fund Rule. Justice Kagan's majority opinion observed that the court's 2006 decision in Sereboff versus Mid-Atlantic Medical Services left a narrow opening for plan participants just like McCutcheon to argue that relief against them can be consistent with the plain terms of a plan on the one hand, but still not qualify as appropriate equitable relief within the meaning of Section 502A3. Now the court was closing that opening. Consistent with the Sereboff decision, the majority reasoned that a plan's claim for reimbursement is considered to be an equitable claim because it seeks to enforce a lien based on an agreement. And the whole point of a lien based on an express agreement is to enforce the terms of a contract, not reach a result that is at odds with the party's express commitments. That being the case, all of McCutcheon's equitable arguments, which were not based on the terms of his plan, were simply beside the point. And the court therefore made clear that any recoveries that are specifically authorized by the terms of an agreement are not only equitable, but they're also appropriate under Section 502A3. Still, in light of the unusual circumstances, it is hardly surprising that a majority was reluctant to rule for U.S. Airways entirely. The majority expressed concern that sustaining U.S. Airways claims would put McCutcheon $866 in the hole. That's a quote. The majority reasoned that McCutcheon would have never expected that result based on the written terms of the plan, and it added that U.S. Airways should not embrace that interpretation either. As the court put it, quote, when the next McCutcheon comes along, he's not likely to relieve U.S. Airways of the cost of recovery. The majority noted that U.S. Airways is free to eliminate the common fund rule in the plan if it does so expressly. But the fact that the plan didn't address the allocation of attorney's fees at all left what the majority called a contractual gap. Where there's a gap, the majority explained, courts must look beyond the contract's written text, including by evaluating the background legal rules that would traditionally govern. Here, the majority found that the common fund rule traditionally governed the issue of fees in this context. And since the plan said nothing to alter that background rule, the rule should have been applied. So what's the bottom line? First and foremost, plan terms govern, not equity. That's the headline of this majority opinion. But at the same time, Mr. McCutcheon won't be out $866 for having filed his lawsuit and won. Because his plan didn't specify who would pay the attorney's fees, the court turned to equitable principles to answer that question, and it found that the common fund doctrine required that the attorney's fees be paid out of the recovery that McCutcheon won for the plan. By and large, the dissenting justices agreed with the majority. Justice Scalia's dissenting opinion is probably most significant in making clear that all nine of the justices concur that the plain text of ERISA plans control. Where the dissent departs from the majority is on a matter that is generally limited to this case. In particular, the dissent would not have been willing to interpret the U.S. Airways plan as having any contractual gap. It believed that Mr. McCutcheon had already conceded that the plain terms of the plan required him to make full reimbursement. That ship had sailed. To be clear, the dissent didn't necessarily disagree that there was a gap. It didn't express an opinion one way or the other on that issue. Rather, the dissent reasoned that the court should decide the case in light of Mr. McCutcheon's concession. After all, the court had granted review on a question that presumed that the plan's terms gave it absolute right to full reimbursement. The dissent therefore concluded that the majority's reasoning was foreclosed. Ultimately, this point of disagreement is about the way the court does business. It has little to do with ERISA, and it isn't likely to have much effect, if any, on future litigation under Section 502A3. So what does the McCutcheon case mean for ERISA litigation going forward? Well, generally, the McCutcheon decision is a win for plain language and for the rule of law. The court is unanimous in the view that equity cannot override agreements. That ruling should lend predictability to the law, and it ought to reduce inconsistent outcomes, too. That's a win for ERISA plans, and it's also a win for plan participants. The second part of the majority decision is a signal, however, that plans need to evaluate their terms carefully to ensure that they are clear and that they are comprehensive. With respect to plan reimbursement terms in particular, it's now crystal clear that the common fund rule presumptively applies. Plan sponsors are free to write terms that expressly override that default rule, but they have to be express, and they have to be clear. As should go without saying, plans need to consider whether the benefits of writing around the common fund rule outweigh the cost. On the one hand, in at least some cases, like the McCutcheon case, the common fund rule will mean less overall recovery for plans seeking reimbursement. On the other hand, eliminating the common fund rule might discourage participants from pursuing recoveries that benefit the plan. Of course, plans should carefully reevaluate all their terms. Equity isn't going to override those terms, but it is going to creep in wherever there's a gap. And every gap will mean litigation over which equitable background principle should apply. So with winter behind us, ERISA plans should do what many cities are doing in the northern parts of the country: conduct a thorough search for potholes and make sure that every last one is filled.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.